All right. Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. As Brian said earlier, my name is Justin Faniff, one of the teaching pastors here at River Run. Excited to be back with you. It's been a little bit. I'm excited to dive into this series. We're actually continuing a series here where we're talking about invincible, and we're looking at what it means to be invincible because we have the gift of eternal life. We have the gift of eternal life, but sometimes that can get kind of thrown out there. I've got eternal life. You've got eternal life. Hey, congratulations. And then we don't really know what that means exactly, what that should mean for our lives in the moment. It's kind of this distant thing way out there, but what does that mean for me in the day-to-day? And so that's what we've been really looking at through this series, all right, through this series. And we had a chance to celebrate the fact that we even get the gift of eternal life with the resurrection of our Savior Jesus last week with Easter. And so we're continuing on with that thought. So as real quick before we kind of dive all the way in, I want us to kind of think through or tap back into just a second ago. Okay, so for some of you watching that video, all right, you kind of, and whether it was the images on the screen, whether it was the music, or whether it was the words you were reading, perhaps you kind of had a little bit of that kind of adrenaline bump, that little, you know, kind of rush a little bit kind of thing. Maybe not right then for some of you, but you've had it before for something. And I want us to kind of think about that moment when you're like, you've heard people say it before, like, I feel like I could run through a brick wall right now. You know, you've heard maybe somebody say something like that. You feel like there's nothing I can't do. There's nothing I can't do. And God's desire is that we feel that each and every day. Not so that we go and do not smart things, okay, that we shouldn't be doing, but so that we feel like no matter what's going on in our lives through the trials and tribulations, that we have him with us. And this eternal life is the truth of what we have now and forever, now and forever. So that's kind of what we really want to dive into today. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get going. So Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here all together, just be encouraged by each other, be encouraged by you to learn from you. I pray for me that you would just, that I would just get out of the way and that you would just speak through me here this morning, that it would be your words, not mine, and that you would just guide us in what you desire for us to hear in the truth of you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you said, we've been doing this series, Invincible, the Gift of Eternal Life, and a part of that was celebrating Easter last week. And so what I want to do is continue on with what does this look like in the day-to-day life when we're going to have some of those trials and tribulations, because they're going to happen, all right? Jesus himself and then the apostles after him, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He says, John 16:33, for you're going to have trials, you're going to have troubles in this life. Good news is he doesn't stop there. Right? He says, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So what does that mean for us? Okay, so we're going to have them, all right? Jesus said, we're going to have those trials. We're going to have those hard times. But what does it mean that he's overcome the world? Okay, what does that mean? So I want us to kind of do a couple things. We're going to be jumping around a little bit. And so the stuff will be on the screen here. But if you want some practice on finding this stuff in the Bible, hopefully give you some practice with that. One of the things I want to recommend too is that as we're kind of going through this, if you go back to February 26th, okay, Pastor Caleb went through like the whole story arc of the Bible on that Sunday real quick, gave some great timelines and all of that kind of stuff. And so that's a great reference for what we're kind of talking about here. So February 26th on YouTube or on riverrunchurch.com, you can go back and you can look at that, because that arc is what helps us have confidence and informs us on moving forward or in the present with our own lives. Okay, so we've been not only going through this series, but for this year, 2023, we've also had kind of a theme that we've been doing, and that is one of our culture statements, one of our true statements that we have here at River Run, and that is to make the most of what we've been given. To make the most of what we've been given. And a part of that is, you know, sometimes we automatically think of like possessions that we have, perhaps finances that we have, or gifts and talents that God has given us, which are all great things and are all true, absolutely, okay? But sometimes we don't think or we don't take advantage of some of the other things that we have, okay? Things like a relationship with God that we talked about. And I'm guilty of this as well, right? The God of the universe wants to have a personal relationship with me. All right, that's an incredible, incredible thing. That's weighty, that's huge, and sometimes we don't always think about it, right? Scripture. We've talked a lot this year about Scripture and the fact that we have the God-breathed, God-inspired Word right? Right here in our hands, okay? Maybe physically in your hands or on your phone or a tablet or on a computer. We have access to it. Scripture itself, God's word's right there. And we can take advantage of that. We can make the most of that and learn from that. The Holy Spirit, last series before this, we talked about the Holy Spirit, right? That when we believe in what we celebrated last week, that Jesus died on the cross, taking all of our sins down with him, that weight, that crushing weight of that. But that he didn't stay there. He defeated death. He defeated the grave and he rose again, inviting us into that new and fresh life. When that happens, we have the Spirit of God himself inside of us. Inside of us. How many of us don't take advantage of the fact that he can guide us from inside, helping lead us in what he desires for us in this life, giving us strength when we need it, giving us wisdom when we need it. We have that. And eternal life. Eternal life. When we really hone in on eternal life, it can help us and inform us in those moments when we're having those hard times. Perhaps it's just a bad day, a hard day. Perhaps it's a relationship that you're struggling with that is kind of ongoing. You know, perhaps it's a job thing. Whatever it may be, some of them can be longer seasons than others. Whatever it may be, it can help us. Because when we have an understanding of eternity, it should invite a healthy eternal perspective. When we have an understanding of eternity, it should invite a healthy eternal perspective. Well, what does that mean? What does eternal perspective mean? What that means is, if we didn't have eternal perspective, if we didn't have a perspective beyond what's going on right now, then we're kind of doing this a lot, right? And we don't have any, there's not really hope, there's not really, you know, any sense of what's going on in other places, right? So if you can kind of imagine that eternity kind of goes, oh, there's a whole lot more out here, right? Or perhaps, you know, when you're a baby, they have limited vision to start out with. So all they see is like the faces of their parents. But then at some point, and you all know when that is because the baby's eyes go really big, right? Because suddenly they're like, holy cow, there's so much more. I didn't even know that, right? It's kind of that feeling, right? It's kind of that feeling. Or if you imagine a field, you're on a hill or something, and you're looking at this field and it's got boundaries, trees around it, other hills perhaps, okay? That's very finite. That's a definite thing right there, right? But then if you take that and then you go to the beach and you know, not thinking about the beach behind you, but you just look out at the ocean, you're like, it doesn't end. Where does it end? It doesn't. I can't see it. It just goes on forever, right? And that field that looked very finite and very, you know, kind of big at the time, you're like, this is a big field right here, right? You put it in the middle of the ocean and it seems small. It doesn't seem the same as it was. And so that's what we're really thinking about, that, okay, this is really happening. What's happening right now is true. It's hard, okay? But there's some things that I can do, that I can think of, that I can tap into that are gonna help me. All right, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna start at the end. How many of you, it's okay, it's a safe space. How many of you get a new book and then you flip to the last page and you read the last page first? How many of you do that? Thank you for admitting it, those of you that are admitting it. It's okay, there'll be people to pray with at the end over here. Okay, all right. No, so some of us do that, but some of us are like, I would never dream of doing that, okay? We're gonna do that, all right? And for some of you that are starting to twitch, it's okay, this book is okay to do that, okay? It's okay to do that, all right? So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start in Revelation for a little bit, and we're gonna look at what we're looking towards, what is going to happen, what's coming. Because that is gonna give us some faith, should build our trust, and should give us a greater and grander perspective on what we're talking about here, okay? So in Revelation chapter 22, all right, starting at the beginning here in verse 1, the Apostle John is writing this, okay, and he's being visited by the Lord in visions, okay, and messengers of the Lord are showing John these things. And so it says this, it says, then the angel showed me a river with water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of Main Street, and on each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month, and the leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. That sounds lovely, right? That sounds great. That sounds really good. This is what we have to look forward to, okay? This is what we have to look forward to, okay? This is the eternity at the end. Now, a couple things that I want to kind of look at here, okay? One is that you're going to notice this kind of highlighted area. For some of you that have read, okay, Genesis 1 and 2, you're kind of going, hold on just a minute. This sounds a whole lot like Eden, right? Creation and God creating Eden. Good. It's supposed to. Okay? Because what John is invoking here is that image and that memory, because God is in the business of reconciliation, restoration, and redemption. For some reason, he's a fan of our words. Okay? But he's in that business. And so what you should see here is he is redeeming and he is reconciling back to Eden. To Eden. But what is the most important thing that we had, that humanity had with God in Eden? Shalom. Shalom. That perfect peace with God. Ultimately, that is what he is doing. He is bringing everything back. We don't know exactly. Revelation can be weird. It can be strange to read. We don't know exactly what all of it means. There's a lot of symbolism, a lot of poetic language, and a lot of different things. But what we can pull out of it is themes that we see. And one of those is the theme of this redemption, all right? And this reconciliation back to what God desires, to have perfect peace with his creation. Okay? Moving on in verse 3. It says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. Amen. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their forehead. Some of you might think of Deuteronomy, okay, in that section in chapter 6 where it's like, listen, O Israel. It's called the Shema in Jewish culture, right? And they repeat it all the time. And it's, listen, O, it's the greatest commandment. Listen, O Israel, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. All right? And follow his commandments. That is what he's talking about there. Later in that passage, it says, we're writing on the foreheads. It's a stamp to say we are God's. We belong to him. So John, again, invoking that Old Testament kind of image. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. So good, right? So good. And I love this piece here, no longer will there be any curse upon anything. In the Jesus Storybook Bible, which is a fantastic Bible if you have pre-K kids, which is what we recommend in River Kids, okay, it actually says that everything sad will become untrue. I love the way that they put that, right? Everything sad will become untrue because God is about truth and about being trustworthy, right? And so we see all of these redemptive things back to Deuteronomy, the way that God intended it, back to Genesis, right? The redemption and the reconciliation, okay? That is what we are looking towards. Moving on, finishing up in chapter or in verse 6 here, it says, then the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God who inspires his prophets has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. Now, we kind of can speak some words to God about soon, okay, right? God's soon is very different than our soon. Our soon is like right now, God, right? Like right now. His soon is very different, okay? So we have to remember that. We have to remember that his soon is different. But also, we're looking at how he is trustworthy and true. All of this is trustworthy and true. That is meant to grow our faith and trust in him, right? Because this is in the future. And what he's saying is, guys, all of this is going to happen, and you know it's going to happen because I said it's going to happen. Because when you look at the story arc of the Bible and what we just sang, it's the same God. It's the same God. Humanity is the one that's been unfaithful, not him. He's been faithful the entire time, right? So he is the same God. He's faithful. He doesn't keep his promises when you look at the Bible, 25%, 50%, 75%, 98%, 99%, 100% of the time, he has kept his promises, 100%. Now, might not be in the timing we would like, but he's kept his promises. He's kept his promises. So when we think about that, the analogy I've heard a lot used, so I don't want to take credit for it because I've heard it before, okay, is you're in the car, okay, you've been in the car, and all of you guys, you know, I'm pretty sure you've been in the car, okay, and if you're younger, you've been in the car riding, okay, and so you see the car, and the biggest thing that you see at the front is the windshield, right? It's the windshield. Then there's that little thing that's a lot smaller right here, and that is the rearview mirror, okay? You've got side view mirrors as well, all right? So this is a free one for the younger ones who can't drive yet, okay? You're welcome, all right? We don't spend the whole time looking in the rearview mirror, do we? That's a poor decision, okay? We might be invincible, but not in that way, okay? All right? We don't spend the whole time looking in the rearview mirror, okay? We look out of the windshield. That is the present, and at the same time, that's the future. That's where we're going, okay? We can see where we're going. Now, at the same time, a lot of us have built, hopefully, to be safe, right? We've built a little rhythm of, you know, every however many seconds or whatever. We're glancing up there and we're seeing, where have I been? What's going on behind me? Okay, a healthy and safe rhythm that we have, right? And so in the same way, it's important to look back, okay, and see things that can inform us and help us to see the faithfulness and the truth of God and the constant and the consistency of God in order to help us grow our faith and have trust in him when we're looking even past where we are now to this idea of eternal life, right? So it's kind of this idea right here. We don't live in the past, okay, but we make the most of it. Again, that's our theme, right? We make the most of it so it can teach us about the present and the future. Okay, so we don't live there. We don't live there, okay? But we make the most of it. In other words, we're checking it. We're looking through prayer, through looking back in the Old Testament, all the things and bits of the New, you know, into the New Testament and all the things that have come before us. We're looking back at it. So in order to make the most of it, it can teach us and inform us about how we can live in the way that God desires for us to in the future. Do you know who understood this? Who at the end understood this? Ebenezer Scrooge, right? Ebenezer Scrooge, he understood this, right? He thought that life had happened to him, wasn't his fault. And so that's the way that I'm just the way that I am. This is the way that I am, right? And then the spirits show up in the book and in the movie, lots of movies they've done, right? And show him, no. You still have a choice. You still have a choice of who you want to be and how you want to impact those around you. And over time, at the end, we see that his perspective is changed. His legacy, the legacy that he wants to leave, has changed. It's changed. And so we're going to look back now. So we were at the end. Now we're going to go back to the beginning. Okay? And we're just real quick, we're going to run through and show the consistency of God and where he the entire time is pointing towards something that's going to happen in the Old Testament. Okay? So in Genesis chapter 3, all right? So the fall has happened. The choice has been made. The relationship has been broken with God. The relationship is broken with God, right? And right after that, God says this, speaking to humanity, Adam and Eve, and speaking to the serpent as well, right? He says, and I will cause hostility between you, the serpent, and the woman, humanity, right? And between your offspring and her offspring. So we're talking about descendants now, okay? Descendants of this family of humanity, right? He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. This is a promise that God is making. And in the poetic language and all the context around this, basically, he is telling them a descendant at some point from your line is going to come and rescue and redeem all of this, but he's going to be wounded in the process. So it's this kind of wounded savior. Does that sound familiar? Right? We just celebrated it last week, right, with Easter. Okay? So he is making this promise right after the brokenness happens. Now, let it also inform us on the time. All right? God's soon is different than our soon, right? Because he said this, and then it's thousands and thousands of years before Jesus arrives on the scene, right, with Mary and Joseph. So it's been, as Pastor Tyler talked about last week, we're 10 years short of 2,000 years of when Jesus made his sacrifice on the cross and rose again. We're getting close to 2,000 years. What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know what the exact timing is, but what we can see from the Old Testament and looking back, checking in on the past, okay, is that we see that it could be some time in our world, but God is out of time. He's outside of time, so it's different for him. But the key is that he is making this promise. From here, we see that he makes a covenant with his people, and he says, I am going to be with you, right? He does the flood, and then he reestablishes the covenant with Noah and his family, okay? Then a little bit later, he chooses Abraham and Sarah, and that's going to create his nation, the nation of Israel, that we're going to see later in the Old Testament, that becomes a huge, huge nation, right? And it's going to be his people. He establishes an amazing covenant with Abraham, Genesis chapter 15. You can look at it this week, okay? He establishes an amazing covenant. He's the one that's faithful. Israel is not. We mess up. And we see throughout the judges, good or bad, mostly bad, okay? God is still there. Throughout the kings that Israel asks for, good or bad, mostly bad, God is still there, right? And even into exile. And the whole time, As it said in Revelation there, God inspires his prophets. The whole time God chooses a group of people. And this is what I kind of want to focus on some for the next little bit, okay? Because God chooses a group of people called prophets, okay, in order to help him get the attention of his people. Okay? So sometimes we think of prophets as like kind of like these fortune tellers, and they were just talking about these things that were going to happen in the future. And they do a little bit of that. But mostly what they do is they mostly go, hey, hello, hello everyone. Hey, hi. By the way, God, remember him? We need to get back to him. We need to get back to him. He's calling us. He's asking us to come back to him. He's still there. He never left. We've wandered off into who knows where, right? In Isaiah, we like sheep have gone astray. Like, hey, hey, hello, hey, yeah, over here, right, God, like, can we, you know, and that's mostly, they're like these megaphones for God, right? They're trying to get the attention. Hey, if we don't get back to God, some not great things are going to happen, okay? Some not great things are going to happen. And so that's a lot of what they were doing, but the thing was, God used it in such a way that it was really, really hard. You would, you know, it's God's prophet. It's got a nice ring to it, right? God's prophet, what a title. You would not want to be a prophet, I promise you. You would not want to be a prophet, okay? That's not something that you should aspire to. In fact, most of them, that's not something that they were planning. And then God came to them and they're like, I guess I'm doing this now, right? It was a hard life. When you read through the major and minor prophets, some of the things that they were doing in order to try and get the attention of God's people, of Israel, is crazy, right? One of them tied up on his side for like 3 years in order to kind of enact this symbol, right? Another one, in some way this is supposed to help the Israelites understand that he's cooking his food over poop, right? Hosea, literally Hosea. If you go into the book of Hosea, okay, one of the prophets, the entire book is him, his whole life living out a real life analogy of how we, humanity, has been unfaithful to God and how God has continued to be faithful. And it is a rough, rough life. It's hard. It's really hard for him. And yet he believes in what God is saying, and he trusts in what God is saying so much. He has that faith. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean they didn't have moments of crying out. You go into the Psalms, you see David. He's calling out to God all the time. God, why is this happening? This is really, really hard. It doesn't mean that you don't communicate to God during hard times. It doesn't mean that they're not hard, that I'm not trying to diminish that at all. And it doesn't mean that they're not true in the moment of what's happening. Those are all absolutely the case. But God is saying, communicate with me about that. Bring it to me. I can help you better than anybody else can. And the prophets understood this, okay? Because he was asking them to do very hard things. All right, very hard things. But he was also asking them to point to a savior and a rescuer and a redeemer. And so that's what we see. So just a couple of examples here, right? In Micah chapter 5, it says this right here. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among the people of Judah. How did he know that, right? Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Wow. Then at last, his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land. He goes on. He says, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. Again, peace, that word, that shalom, right? This is hundreds of years before Jesus arrives on the scene, right? Oh, Bethlehem, you're just a small village. The woman in labor gives birth. Cue the Christmas music, right? Like, that's what we're talking about here. And this is hundreds of years before. So there's faithfulness in the moment, and trust in the moment, having to walk through some of these hard things and honestly, flatly, for the most part, be ignored by everybody. You are shouting from the rooftops and nobody cares. How many times have you been in a conversation and you realize that nobody's really paying attention to you? That's not a great feeling. That's their life. That was largely their life. And yet, they believed in what God is saying. I need you to come back to me. I want you to come back to me.
At the same time, I am sending this rescuer, this redeemer, and he is going to do everything that I have said. One of Micah's contemporaries, Isaiah, so he was around the, lived around the same time as Micah, said this. So Micah, that little passage that we had there was kind of focusing on, you know, this idea of the birth of Jesus, him arriving, and then what he was going to be doing. And this is really focusing on what he ultimately was going to be doing that we were talking about during Holy Week and into Easter, right? It says this in chapter 53, starting in verse 4. It says, yet it was in our weaknesses, yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But no. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Then it goes on. And he says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. The sins of us all. Jesus had to go through that. And again, this is hundreds of years before Jesus would arrive and before Jesus would start his ministry and before he would ultimately die on the cross, taking all of our sins with him. And of course, we know that he did not stay there. And I want you guys to think about something else. Micah, Isaiah, Hosea, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Amos, there's a whole list of them, the prophets in the book in the Old Testament. None of them got to see this. They were pointing to it, right? When Caleb did his kind of his overview, right, we talk about how right now we're in this kind of what they kind of call the age of tension, right? We're in between when Jesus came first and then he promised, 100% of the time, remember that? He promised, I'm coming again. It's Revelation. So we're in that time of tension. What does that mean? We're in a little bit of our own exile. Looks a little different than what it looked like in the Old Testament. But mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in some cases for us physically, all right, we're in kind of our own exile, but we're in this age of tension in between. What does this look like? How do I live? Right? But there was really kind of a first age of tension in a way where everything is pointing, the prophets are pointing to Jesus coming the first time because he hasn't come yet, but they don't know when that's going to happen. Sound familiar? Like the second coming? They don't know when that's going to happen, and yet they're trying to remain faithful through the hard things that God is asking them to do. And instead of, again, not saying that they did not have communication with God and say, this is really hard, okay, but they began to see how what they were doing can provide opportunities for people, not obstacles, back to God. And so in this first age of tension, they didn't get to see this. We do. You want to talk about make the most of what we've been given? We have the New Testament. They didn't. Can you just grasp that for just a second? They didn't have all of that. They trusted it was going to happen, but they didn't see it. We get to turn the page. We get to turn the page and go, oh, there's more. Here's Jesus. Here's what he did. We got to see that. So if our faith hasn't grown in that, what are we doing? How have we not made the most of that? We've been talking about making the most of something. We have the visual, we have the truth of what Jesus did right here written down that they didn't have and they were still trusting in the day-to-day. Why aren't we? And I'm not saying I don't struggle with it because there are days that I absolutely struggle with this. But we have it. New Testament means new covenant. That's what that means. He is establishing once again a covenant with his people. I'm still remaining faithful, even if you haven't been. I'm still remaining faithful. And Peter talks about this, the Apostle Peter, in his first letter, in the first chapter. And Peter was a guy who struggled with this. Right? He struggled with this day in and day out. He suffered from foot and mouth syndrome all the time. Right? He struggled with this. He was the guy. Jesus is walking on the water and he says, invite me out there. And Jesus says, come on out. Water's fine. And he does. And initially he's good, like us, right? I'm right here with you, Jesus. I'm looking at you. And then what does he start doing? Looking other places. Starts to sink. Right? Jesus is like, I'm right here. I'm right here. We're going to have wind. We're going to have waves. All right, it's a popular motif in the Bible, right? The ocean, the waves, all these things. But focus right here in the eternity that you have in me, right? And this is what he says, 1 Peter verse 10 says, this salvation was something that even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this. This is literally what we're just talking about. This gracious salvation prepared for you. They wanted to know, God, what is this? What does this look like? I'm trusting you, but I'd love to see it. Now, so a couple of them got a chance to see some things. Daniel and some others got to see some vision stuff. But for the most part, they didn't understand all of this. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterwards. I trust you, God. I trust you in this moment. That's why I'm sharing this. But I'd love to see it. And he goes on and he says, and now this good news, or they were told, excuse me, that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. We can do the same thing. That our messages are for us, okay, they're for us. And in some cases, in some instances, they were for the prophets too. But they understood that me saying these things is more for other people. How can we make the most of that same truth? And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Amazing. So Peter's looking back as well here. And he's saying, when we see what the prophets have done, we see how they lived, not even being able to see what was going to happen, and we have. We should be all the more faithful. We should be all the more trusting, right? And we should be all the more invincible, even with the troubles and trials that come. So when we really think about eternal hope, we think about this eternal perspective that's out here, not right here, okay? We should see something like this. Our perspective should change and begin to change from I have to I get to. I don't have to do this. I get to do this for God. I get to care for people. I get to love them. I get to show them the truth. And instead of why is this happening to me, Lord, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? We might start here. There's a lot of prayers that actually start here. Just read Psalm. David starts there a lot. Why, Lord, why? But he doesn't stay there. He moves to, what am I learning from this? What are you teaching me? We can do the same. And I want to end with Paul here, real quick. Because Paul was the guy that lived this out. He had a great life. Pastor Tyler talked about this last week or a couple weeks ago. He had a great life being a religious leader. He was doing fine, had everything he needed, respected, all of these things. Something happened to him. In his life, he met Jesus, and he said, I'm in, I'm sold out, I'm bought, and his life tanked physically. But spiritually and emotionally and all of those other things, he was as full as he's ever been, right? So much so that he can share with his friends in Corinth, okay, a church that he helped start. In his letter to them in 2 Corinthians, he says this, this guy's been beaten, shipwrecked, stoned. He's been through it all for Jesus. And he says, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. And he goes on. And he says, that is why we never give up. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. There's a truth to this. I get pushed, I fall over, I get poked, I bleed, all of those idioms. So that might be true, but our spirits are being renewed every day. That's the truth of eternal life with Jesus. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. You might look at this and go, my present struggles are small and they're not going to last very long. Like you don't know what I'm going through right now. I'm wrecked. And that may be true. But what God is saying, you're wrecked when you're here. And when you're here, you begin to see that in the grand scheme of things, This is just a part of the process. And again, I don't want you to hear that we're diminishing, that I'm diminishing anything that anybody is going through. They are hard and they are true. And that's why we have community here, because we can all do this together in God's name and with his strength and his wisdom. It's what Paul believed, right? And he had one of the hardest lives that you'll ever read about. It's what he believed. So what we want to do is we want to make the most of the eternal perspective that we've been gifted. We get a chance to have eternal perspective. We get a chance. Last visual for you guys real quick. You take your hands. Everybody take your hands and do this. Okay? It's okay. You can do it. It's fine. And if you put it up to your eye and you try and look through that, okay? All right, pause right there. I'm going to get my phone out. No, I'm just kidding. All right. If you do this, then all you can see is that, right? So if this is my problem, then that's all I can see. What perspective does, and this is a visual that Pastor Tyler does, that I've seen him do before. What eternal perspective does is it brings it out here. Everybody bring it out here. Now how big is it? It's not that big. It's not as big as it was. Doesn't mean it's not there. Still there. Still got to work on it. Still got to go through it. But it's not as big as it was. And that's what eternal perspective does. I've got an eternal hope, a peace, a joy that this world can't touch because I know, Revelation, what we looked at, where we're going and what it looks like. So when you think about where our true home is and whose we are in Christ, then obstacles become opportunities. Our problems and our trials shrink. We begin to see that obstacles not only are opportunities, but they're not the end of something, they're beginning. They're the beginning. Obstacles can be the beginning of something. What am I learning from here? So if we're going to make the most of our eternal perspective, we need to lean into what we've learned from those that have come before us, and we need to look forward to what God is doing. We don't know what the timing is. We don't know how it all is going to shake out as far as the exact moments and situations that are going to happen. But when we're looking at him and we're looking at what we have in the grand scheme of things, not just in the right now, then we can see that, okay, I can work through this thing that's going on right now. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay because I have the Lord with me. So I hope that we can remember that this week moving forward. Whatever we might have going on, whether it's one day, whether it's a week, whether it's a month, whether it's kind of a season that you're in right now, that you lean into him, you utilize all those things, the relationship with him, the Holy Spirit, the scripture, and the truth of the eternal, eternal. We can't even wrap our heads around that sometimes. The eternal life. When you have forever, what's right now? The eternal life we have in him. I pray that we have strength, that we get strength, that we get wisdom from that this week. God, I thank you for the truth that we have in you. I thank you for your son Jesus, his sacrifice for us, the new life that he invites us into eternity with you. And I pray that you would help us to have that perspective, to have that wisdom, to believe in the truth and strength that you're giving us through all of that. We love you and we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.